TED Talks. TED Talks are talks that have been given at TED conferences. Generally, TED conferences are really smart people getting together with really smart people to listen to really smart people talk about really smart ideas. The videos of these TED Talks are how these ideas are shared with the rest of us. The slogan used for TED Talks is, "Ideas worth spreading." Now, contrary to what some might think, TED doesn't refer to a guy named Ted. It's an acronym for Technology Entertainment Design. And in the early days of the annual TED conferences, these talks were largely focused on technology and design, consistent with the acronym. Over the years, though, TED has broadened to include talks on many scientific, cultural, political, academic topics. The title of my talk today is Jesus, an Idea Worth Spreading. Now, the reason I brought up TED Talks is more than just an excuse for a clever title for my talk. I enjoy watching TED Talks. You know, I try to be smarter, appear smarter, increase my knowledge of things. And as I was scanning through a list of TED Talks a while back, I ran across one with an unexpected speaker, Billy Graham. You know, the Billy Graham. I didn't expect to see a TED Talk by Billy Graham, of all people. He gave the talk at the annual TED conference in 1998. He was 80 years old at the time. The talk was on technology and faith. Well, I was intrigued. I mean, what would Billy Graham at 80 years of age have to say to a bunch of science and technology people? Everyone there would know who Billy Graham was and what he's all about. He had obviously not been snuck onto the conference speaking schedule as a technology expert and then, you know, done the bait and switch with the whole Jesus thing. Everybody knew what he was about. He's the most identifiable preacher in the world. And in the back of my mind, I was wondering if Billy Graham would walk onto the TED stage and then give the conference attendees both barrels, just blasting them with a message of hellfire and brimstone, pointing out to them that they were all under the judgment of Almighty God, lost forever unless they repented of their sins and begged God for forgiveness. Now, to be fair, I have never seen or heard Billy Graham ever speak that way to an audience. Billy Graham, he didn't do anything remotely like that. Instead, he humbly took the stage and spoke in the most gracious manner imaginable. It was like listening to a very wise grandfather who gets it. He was witty, articulate, intelligent, kind, relevant, humble, convincing. So what could Billy Graham share with this group of people that would be relevant for them? Well, his basic message was this: technology brings some amazing benefits into our lives, but it's not been able to solve three problems: human evil, human suffering, and death. The life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is the hope of humankind, giving us an opportunity for a new life with a new nature, free of evil, free of suffering, and free of death. Now, that's a relevant message for all of us, isn't it? No matter our station in life, our education, wealth, fame, influence, race, sex, age. Thanksgiving Day is this Thursday. There will likely be many opportunities for us to share our faith in Jesus with other people. And I want to encourage you to take advantage of those opportunities. Jesus is an idea worth spreading. We're living in a culture with a lot of angry, discouraged, disrespectful people. Let's be the peacemakers, the bridge builders, the agents of healing and encouragement and hope. Romans 10:15 quotes Isaiah 52:7, which says, "How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation." Let's be those people. Let's be people who bring good news, peace, good tidings, and salvation to others. Well, how do we do that? How do we share our faith in Jesus Christ? How do we spread this wonderful idea, Jesus? That's what I want to talk about with you today. I'd like to draw out some things for us to consider from two Bible passages. The first is Colossians 4, 2 through 6. Paul writes this. He says, "Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." The other scripture is 1 Peter 3:13 through 17. Peter writes this. He says, "Who's going to harm you if you're eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you're blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. For it's better, if it's God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil." How to share our faith in Jesus? The first thing is pray. Pray. Telling others about Jesus is a spiritual endeavor. It's a spiritual work. And we need the spiritual power of the Lord upon us, working in us and through us, and working on the heart of the person that we're talking to. See, the Lord is the one who opens a person's heart and mind to Jesus as Messiah, giving them understanding, giving them appreciation for what Jesus has done, for who he is, what they can do for them. There's that old saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. We can put the water of Jesus in front of someone, but we can't make them drink it. It's the work of the Holy Spirit to help a person see their thirst and to drink that life-giving water. Colossians 4:2 says, "Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should." We're told to devote ourselves to prayer. The word translated devote, it means to continue to do it with intense effort. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 is one of the shortest verses in the Bible. It only has two words. But those two words give us an important command. Pray continually. Paul asks the people in the church at Colossae to pray for him that, one, that God will open a door for the message about Jesus to be shared with others. Pray that the Lord will provide opportunities for Paul to share with others about Jesus. And the second thing is he asks them that they would pray that he'll be able to share about Jesus clearly, in an understandable way. Although Jesus is the mystery of God, it's not supposed to be a secret. God wants all people to know this mystery, to understand it, to comprehend it, to embrace it. And these same things that Paul asked for prayer for are things that we need prayer for too. Pray that God will open doors for you, provide opportunities for you to share about Jesus. And pray the Lord enables you to share about Jesus clearly in a way that others can understand. The second thing is we want to live a Christ-honoring life. A common criticism of Christians is that they're hypocrites. Some of that criticism is legitimate. Some of it is unfair and uninformed. Regardless of the fairness of the criticism, the best way for us to silence that criticism is to not be a hypocrite. A godly life speaks louder than words, and it gives our words credibility. We're not perfect. No one is. But we should make every effort to live in a way that's consistent with the teachings of Jesus. Colossians 4:5, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Being wise in the way we act means to be thoughtful about the impression we're making on others. Is our behavior reflecting Jesus? Is our behavior making the teaching about Jesus attractive? As it says in Titus 2:8 and in 1 Peter 3:13, who's going to harm you if you're eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is good, you're blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. And then skip down to verse 16. Keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. For it's better if it's God's will to suffer for good than for doing evil. Be eager to do good. I mean, look for ways to be a blessing to others, to offer help, to encourage, to give hope, to carry the essence of Jesus into every situation. Now, I realize that's a tall order for us, but it should be our goal, the thing we aim for, the driving motive of our life. We will have many more opportunities to talk about Jesus with people by doing it that way rather than us being pushy and confrontational with people and argumentative and picking fights and all of that. As Peter points out to us in this passage, our efforts to do good may not always be appreciated. But even if we're criticized, slandered, hated, he says, don't be afraid or discouraged. So just make sure that we're suffering for doing good rather than getting what we deserve. We don't want to be one of those Christians who is an obnoxious jerk, causing everyone to avoid them, and then they complain that they're being persecuted for their faith. They're not being persecuted. They're getting what they deserve. If we're going to suffer, let's make sure we're suffering for doing good rather than for doing evil. Third, be prepared. Be prepared. Colossians 4:5, make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. 1 Peter 3:15, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Opportunities to share our faith with others, they often come at unexpected times. We need to be ready all of the time. I've been caught flat-footed more often than I want to admit. I mean, I'll be on my way to do something. My mind is focused on some task, some mission. That's kind of the way I roll, if you know me anyway. I mean, I'm focused, and that's where I'm headed. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, someone comes across my path, and the opportunity to share with them about Jesus comes up, and I'm like a deer caught in the headlights, fumbling for words, trying to find my mental footing. But Lord, help me be better prepared for those unexpected opportunities that come up. Part of being prepared is being on the lookout for opportunities to share about Jesus. Make the most of every opportunity, Paul said. When an opportunity presents itself, take it. When the door is open for you to share about Jesus, go through it. When you're asked to give the reason for the hope that you have, give it. Being prepared means we know what we believe and why we believe it. And that means we have to invest time and effort into learning what we believe and why we believe it. A reason that's often given for why a person doesn't share about Jesus with others is they say, I don't know what to say or do. How do we overcome that problem? By learning what to say and do. Let me tell you a story about pancakes. This is a true story, too, believe it or not. Even though you're going to go, Jeff, you're a kook. When I learned that my daughter Taylor was pregnant with my first grandchild, Addie, I determined that I was going to learn how to make pancakes from scratch before my granddaughter was born. I'm not sure where this idea came from, but I felt that if I was going to be a legitimate grandfather, I needed to be able to make decent pancakes from scratch for my grandchildren. Now, I had never made pancakes from scratch before, didn't have a clue about how to do it. I'd made pancakes from a box mix a few times, but I didn't feel real confident even doing that. So what was I going to do? I only had a few months before this little one was born. I needed to get busy learning. I started doing my homework. I Googled how to make pancakes. I watched YouTube videos on how to make pancakes. I collected pancake recipes, and I practiced making pancakes again and again and again. This is a true story. You can ask my wife. I made a lot of pancakes during those months before Addie was born. Now, I didn't know if Addie would even like pancakes. But I'm now prepared if she ever asks me to make her pancakes. I'm ready. And I look forward to that opportunity now. You can't just throw an egg and a handful of flour into a bowl and expect to make pancakes that are worth eating. It takes practice and precision to make good cakes. Respect the pancakes, bro. And in a similar way, learn what you believe about Jesus and why, so that when you are asked, you have an answer. Give the reason for the hope that you have. One of the best ways of doing that is to share your own story. Your own story of how you came to believe in Jesus as your Savior. See, the one subject that you can be considered an expert on is you and your own story. No one knows it like you do. Tell your story. You might be thinking, well, my story is not very interesting. I was not an axe murderer before I came to the Lord, and he gave me a new purpose in life. Every story of rescue and redemption is compelling, every one of them. Tell your story. To help tell your story, you can break it down into three main parts: what your life was like before you started following Jesus, how you came to believe in Jesus, and what your life is like now. Next, be gentle. 1 Peter 3:15 says, do this with gentleness. Gentleness, compassion, caring, concern, humility, pleasantness, kindness. Treat people with the same kind of care and dignity that you would like to be treated with. Be respectful. 1 Peter 3:15, do this with gentleness and respect. Be polite and sincere. Don't be a jerk. Check your attitude at the door. It's a hard one these days, isn't it? I mean, we're part of a larger kingdom than boomers and millennials, okay? Republicans and Democrats. Impeachers and let them go freers or whatever the, you know. I mean, all this stuff going on right now. Whatever other things people are squaring off about, we're part of a greater kingdom, the kingdom of God. Let's act like it. We can have opinions, but we don't want to have those attitudes that put people off. Show proper reverence for the subject matter. Recognize that this is one of the most serious and confrontational subjects a person will ever face. We're not talking about brands of dog food. We're talking about life and death and eternity. Respect the subject and the moment that you're in with that person. Be full of grace. Colossians 4:6, let your conversation be always full of grace. Full of grace. We're all in the same boat, aren't we? We're one beggar showing another beggar where we have found bread and they can find bread too. Look at the way Jesus interacted with people and imitate him. He was called a friend of sinners. The religious leaders of his day, they didn't like him because he wasn't religious enough for them. He was real. He was authentic. He was open. He was honest, unpretentious, plain, gracious. It's interesting. See, Jesus, he had the most justifiable reason to be uppity and judgmental of others, literally being perfect. Yet he was the most gracious person who ever lived. We certainly can't justify our own attitudes of being uppity and judgmental. Finally, be salty. Colossians 4:6 says, let your conversation be always seasoned with salt. In the ancient Greek culture, salty speech meant it was lively, engaging, interesting, winsome. I think a way to say this is don't lose your sense of humor. Be yourself, but be the self that doesn't have the weight of the world on your shoulders. Be the self that's personable. Be the self that's friendly. Be the self that's not pretending to be someone else. Be the self that's honest and vulnerable and laughs at themselves. Don't lose your sense of humor in all of this. So again, how do we share our faith? We pray. We live a Christ-honoring life. Be prepared. Be gentle. Be respectful. Be full of grace. And be salty. Jesus is an idea worth spreading. Tell people about Jesus. You don't have to be a theologian. Tell your own story. You don't have to be perfect. Be humble and honest about your own failures and how Jesus has rescued you. Pray, asking the Lord for opportunities, asking him to help you make the most of the opportunities that he brings. Isaiah 52:7, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, I pray for all of us here. That same prayer that Paul had, that he asked for. Lord, we pray that there will be opportunities An open door will be provided for us to share about Jesus. And we ask God that you would help us to share clearly in an understandable, relevant, gentle, respectful, full of grace, salty way. In Jesus' name, amen.